was inspired by a number of stories that took place over the last couple of weeks. First one was during my shiur. I was giving shiur about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. One of the guys in the shiur has a mechanical pencil sitting on the table right next to him. And he picks up the pencil and he clicks it. You know how they work? And the lead protrudes about 3 inches over the top of the pencil, obviously not very conducive to writing with. And then he proceeds to aim towards the wall, give it a little flick. And I looked at him and I was like, stop the shiur. I was like, have you ever heard of balpashas? You know, this is just like ridiculous. You know, why would you do that? You just ruined the perfectly good pencil. It's totally, now totally useless. He's like, About 30 seconds later, this other kid comes into the shiur. He's like, yo, what happened to my pencil? I was like, oh my gosh!
Oh my goodness.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about Gezel, about Geneva. That wasn't the only story that inspired this schmooze. I don't want to be too harsh, but I'll leave that out. The chavrusa of this pencil thief, so happens to be a notebook thief. You know, he regularly sits at a makom of this medrash. You know, lock your notebooks, guys, because if this guy's sitting there, he will take it out and borrow a piece of paper, never to be returned, at his convenience. I've seen it happen a number of times. I felt really bad for the pencil guy, I'll be honest. You know, he was really upset. And then, one day last week in Shacharis, he was honored with the honor of Psicha. Hashem, he comes to Shacharis, a very special thing. Kind of a mitzvah of Kabbalah Torah, opened the Aron. On his way up to the Aron, so there was a gross guy, you know, sits right in front of me. He had a pack of tissues over there, and so he helped himself to a tissue on the way. He's like, okay, now I understand. You know, everything makes sense, full circle. The tissues, you know, maybe the guy even doesn't mind, but he certainly wasn't asked, that's for sure. He had to take somebody else's things. And I thought these were very interesting insights that I was noticing around the yeshiva, and it was really topped off last week one day. I was looking through some of the svarim, I noticed that the svarim talking about other examples of Geneva Gzela that I didn't even pay attention to, really. Until I saw them written here, I was sharing with you the Pella Yoetz of Lazar Papo. He points out a person has to be very careful when it comes to Gezel. And he gives a couple of examples. He says, Shalom Lakabel v'shalom Le'echol mi'ish asher echol v'shesei. You have a guy, he's in the middle of eating. The guy, you know, he goes to the vending machine, he buys himself a pack of chips, or a chocolate bar, or he took an orange from the lunchtime and he's eating it, and somebody like, oh, yo, can I have some chips? He's like, dude, I'm so hungry. You know? He's like, just one chip, give me one chip, just have one chip. And he's, you know, fine. This is Gezel, this is the fairish. Gezel Gomor. There's a story I saw here about the Brisker Rav in one of these books. In the Shadow of the Great. It's a nice story about the Brisker Rav that he used to have a minion at his house Friday nights. And one of the people who died by the Brisker Rav, his son, 2-3-year-old son, he fell asleep on the Brisker Rav's bed. So, at the end of davening, he goes, he's going to wake up his son and take him home. He'll wake him up, he doesn't need to carry him. The Briskers are makpid not to use an Eruv at all, apparently. And so he was going to wake his son up. Time to go home. So the Brisker Rav stopped him. He said, what are you doing? Yeah, wake my son, I'm going to go home. He's like, just because we're machmir, when it comes to Eruv, doesn't mean we can be over the Isser of Gezel Sheina, that you're going to wake up your son and disturb his sleep. He's sleeping, you have to let him sleep. Leave him here. Like, can anybody imagine, like nowadays, like you invite over friends Friday night for the meal, and one of the little kids falls asleep in your parents' bed. So the guest goes to take the kid out, and your parents are like, no, you know, leave him there. This is Gezel Sheina. So the guy says to Brisker Rav, he's like, But he's sleeping on the rough's bed. You know, what are you going to do? So Briscoe said, no. He'll stay here in the bed. I'll find another place to sleep. No problems. Yes, sir, guys, I'll sleep. Guys come back to the dorm. Somebody was just talking to me about this also 2 weeks ago. Their roommate comes back late at night. You know, in May. We're in May now. It's not August or September. You know, he comes back to the room late at night. He's doing his laundry. He's arranging his things. You know, whatever he's doing it very loudly. At least loud enough that the other guy's woken up. Why you gotta do that? It's nighttime. The other guy's tired. Even if it's the middle of the day. If somebody's sleeping, have a little derech eretz. Okay. The Gemara says in Brachos on that Vav, Amar b'chalbo marfuna kol shiyodeh b'chaviru shu ragil litei lo shalom yaktim lo shalom shenemar b'kei shalom v'rodfeyu, that if you have somebody who usually says hello to you, says to you good morning in the morning, so you should try give him a good morning first. That's nice. V'im nasan lo v'lo hasir nikra gazlan. A guy says to you good morning, you're like, just keep walking. It happens. I try to be mic and say good morning to a lot of people. Some guys say good morning, how you doing? And some guys are like, just keep walking. That's weird. You know? Nikra gazlum. This is also a form of gezel. Gezel has a lot of branches. So maybe you'll say, you know, how bad is it really? You know, a tissue. Who cares? He stole a tissue. What's the big deal? Stole a tissue. It's not so bad. So the Chazal think it is very bad. I'll just share with you a few Ma'amari Chazal in the Sil Sisharim and Pel Yoetz, a few other places. Mr. Sharm says, "Baran Baba Kama Kol Agolzel Chavira Kilu Shaver Pruta Kilu Notel Nafshu Mimen." It's like you killed him. Wow. The Gemara says in Tainis, "Inak Shamin Neetzarim Elabav on a Gezel." Droughts come because of Gezel. The Gemara says, Medrash says, "Kupam Leavonos Mimikatre Grosh Kulam." You have a basket full of Averos. Which is the worst? Which is the one that comes to prosecute first? Gezel. Doramabul Lo Nechtam Zardinam El Ala Gezel. The Doramabul. The whole Zardin, the decree was solidified because of the Aver of Gezel. People sometimes think, I'm using it for a mitzvah, I'll borrow his paper to take notes on, I'm taking notes. So Mr. Sharm points out, the Gemara says, a person steals wheat, you know, he grinds it up, he makes bread, he makes a bracha, that's not a bracha, that's a curse. It's like you're cursing Hashem. No, God doesn't want that, he's not interested in that. Pel Yoetz says further over here, in a different part, a different paragraph. Kol zman she'gezel biyado ain't tfiloso nishmas. Gemara in Sanhedrin. A person who steals, as long as he hasn't yet returned that which he stole, so he can daven all he wants. Hashem's not listening. And what happens to an olam haba? Gemara in Chagiga. Ma'achilu nosol olam haba gachalei resamin. So he is fed in the next world burning hot coals. That is not pleasant. Then he points out something I saw here. The girl also says this in Evan Shlema. They both say it. Hagozel michaver v'lo hechzer lenigzol ad kilos yemayim. A person who steals and does not return to the person he took from before he dies. Machrichim oso lavo begilgul. He has to come back in a gilgul, and in that gilgul he's going to pay the guy back what he took. Now, I saw the Pel Yoetz. I looked for this story. I tried very hard this morning to find it. It's from another sefer by the same Mechaber, the Pel Yoetz. He has a sefer called Oros Eilim, but I couldn't get a hold of it. He quotes a Meisen Niflo, She'ira B'Yimei, Arab Yisrael Bal Shem Tov. That there was I'm not really familiar with these stories at all, but he says, I don't know how he knew, but he knew, Bal Shem Tov knows things, that there was a guy who stole from his friend, Shaba Echad B'Gilgul Sus, V'Yahovei B'Chol Kocho K'dil Sham Eslova. Hey, somebody stole from his friend, then he died, and he came back as a horse, and he was a horse working for the guy who he stole from until he paid back the debt. Okay. There it is. Crazy. It's unbelievable. Come back as a horse. You want to be a horse? In the Evan Shlema, they have footnotes there in the Evan Shlema, and the footnote brings this long muscle, and he gives a muscle to this idea. He goes, come back as a Gilgul after a Gezel. I'm not going to go through all the details, but he says in Mashal, a guy, you know, he has a wife, he has children, he loves them so much, but he doesn't have any money, so he's sent far away, he has to go travel the seven seas to earn a living. So he travels Seven seas, it takes a month for him to cross over every sea. So 7 months altogether he has to go. He works there for a few years, nothing doing. A few more years pass. 10 years go by almost. And finally the guy has a tzlacha, he becomes phenomenally wealthy. He's ready, he sends a letter back home. He's like, I'm coming home, I have money, we're going to be fine, everything's going to be good. I'm coming. So he gets all his stuff together, he arranges all his boats and ships with all his things, and he's getting ready to set sail, and the guy comes to him, listen, you should just know, in this land that you've been visiting for the last number of years, so they're very makpid when it comes to money. They're very careful. If you owe anybody any money, if you've taken anything, if you haven't settled your debts, make sure to do so before you leave. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm not anything significant here. I'm out of here. He goes. Travels 7 months, a month for each sea. And the date arrives, and his family, his wife, and his children that he misses so much, he hasn't seen them in almost 10 years. They come out to the edge of the town, to the shore, to watch as his boat comes in to greet him. And as he's arriving at the shore, so one of the shipmates that came with him from the old country, so he says to him, you know, you still have a debt to Tony. He's like, okay, no, don't worry. He's like, we're not letting you down until you go back and pay. He's like, what? He's like, I'll pay 10 times over, no problem, I'll pay it 10 times. He's like, no, it's not good enough. You were actually warned before you left that you have to pay your debts before you leave, and you were mezalzel. You didn't think it was so significant. So you went anyway. You're coming back. He's like, please, just let me go down. I'm going to spend some time with my family before I go. I'm sorry. You're not coming down. You're not sending the money. You're not paying 10 times. You're going back. You're paying the debt. He's like, just 30 days. Give me a month. Let me see my children. I haven't seen them in such a long time. No. Until finally begging and pleading, all they would agree to is that they could open the door, you know, at the front of the boat, and he could look at them from the boat. And they open the door, and he sees there his wife, his kids, they're waiting for him, and they're so excited, their father finally came back. And then the door closes, and he's sent away, back over the seven seas. A month, 7 months, back over the sea, till he gets there. And he says, who knows if he's ever going to make it back. All the dangers that are involved in crossing back over the seas, all the, you know, Maybe the same thing will happen again. Maybe there'll be another person who'll forget to pay back. He doesn't know. Who knows if he's coming back? So he says, the nimshal is, this is us. It's adjusting it a little bit. This is us. We come to this world. Hashem has, we have a mandate. We have a charge. The Torah, the mitzvahs. And that's what we're here for. And sometimes we get distracted by other things. And then life goes on, and a person, as we get older, we tend to realize what's important and what's less important. And we say, time to do what I came to do. Starts to learn, starts to daven. You know, people in their old age are doing tshuva. But then he gets to Olam Haba. There's 7 dinim, whatever that means, that he has to cross over. He gets there. He's ready to go into Gan Eden, and they say, whoa, wait a second. Gezel. You're going back. I've been wild. Please, my whole life. Who knows if I'm going to make it back here. No. You were warned. You were warned. You knew. You knew that Gezel's us, sir. You're going back. Maybe you'll go back as a horse. Maybe you'll go back as a... Who knows what? You're going back. This is very scary. And when I was thinking about these issues, I was wondering, you know, where does it come from? Why is it that we're involved in... Why don't I care about other people's things? Why is it that, you know, a tissue, you know, a little flick of the lead, some cookies... Popcorn, soda. Why don't I care? So I think there's a lot of things that can be suggested, but I'll offer 2 suggestions. The first is that it comes from a lack of sensitivity to detail. It's a little thing. Why are you getting so hung up on little things? It's a tissue. Anybody cares about a tissue? Don't relax. I ate a cookie. Sue me. You know? Obviously I was gonna sue you. Eat a cookie. Why are you getting so uptight? Details. So the lack of sensitivity to detail is actually the antithesis to the whole concept of the law of the system. Right? Chazal say a number of places, more in Shoshana, more in Tzubis, more in other places, that kol mitos chachamim kachin, barbayim seyahu tovel, barbayim chaser korto, beino tovel. You have a mikvah, needs 40 seyas. 40 seyas minus a little drop is not a mikvah. That little drop is the difference between tameh and tahor, between an isser kares and a heter and a mitzvah. That's the whole difference. where it says kibetzah metamei tumas ochlin, kibetzah chaser sumsum, enu metamei tumas ochlin. A size of kibetzah makes tumas ochlin if it's missing the amount of sesame seed. So it's not metamei tumas ochlin. Shlosha shlosha metamei medrash, shlosha shlosha chaser nima, enu metamei medrash. Tumas medrash is only if it's 3x3 tvachim. If it's missing a hair from that 3x3, it's not metamei medrash. Halacha is all about the details. And we're not sensitive to that. And it manifests itself, unfortunately, not only in the area of Gezel, but in all areas of Avodas Hashem. I'll give you an example. The people like to waste time. They're sitting in shir, everybody wants to start. Unfortunately, I'm the victim of this too often. You want to start, people are doing the thing, a conversation, on the phone, and the thing. Okay, guys, let's go, start. Starts reading, okay, I start reading until everybody realizes I started reading, be quiet. 2 minutes go by, 3 minutes go by. Okay, then we get going. But okay, what's 2-3 minutes? 2-3 minutes, what's the big deal? We missed out on 2-3 minutes. 2-3 minutes. You know what you can do in 2-3 minutes? Just two quick stories? 2-3 minutes. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I once heard a story that he makes every year, everybody knows, the Siyum Kol HaTorah Kula, you know, Tanakh, and Babli, Rishami, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Midrashim. So there was one year where Chaim made a Siyum, and then about a month later made another Siyum, Siyum HaShas. So they asked him, Rebbe, you know, like, what is this? A Siyum last month, and now this month another Siyum HaShas? He's like, no, there are two different tracks. There's one track of my regular limud, and then, you know, my downtime between aliyahs, a minute here, a minute there, I chayab, I'm also learning Shas. So I finish Shas like that also, a Siyum HaShas. In the downtime. Moshe Feinstein used to learn Mishnayis between Aliyahs. Between Aliyahs. The Aliyah stops, Mishnayis. The Aliyah starts, the next Aliyah, he stops. A minute here, a minute there, you can accomplish incredible things. 2-3 minutes. You add up all the 2-3 minutes, it comes out to a huge amount. And we know that. We know that. How do I know that we know that? Because we complain about the Gris Minyan on a regular basis. The Gris Minyan has a Psuki de Zimra, which I think, according to the sheet there, is 13 minutes. And people are upset, because 13 minutes is longer than 10 minutes. That's 3 minutes out of my breakfast time. It's ridiculous. You know? Why should I wait for 13 minutes for Psuki de Zimra? 13, you know? Nobody waits, because nobody gets there on time, so, you know. But when it comes to 13 minutes to get the Zimra, so then I'm very machmid. A minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. When you want to start shir, so what's the big deal? Relax, it's only a couple minutes. We're starting. It's a hypocrisy. Details. You know, there's halachas, Vilma Shabbos. I was here 2 Shabbos ago for lunch. I gave a shir in the afternoon on Hilchos Borer. About a third of the guys who were here for Shabbos came. It was 4. And we're discussing some of the minutiae, the details of Hilchos Borer. It was very beautiful. The guys were asking questions, very involved, very interested. Nobody knew the halacha. These guys, and not that it's your fault, but you have to learn halacha. The details of Hilchos Shabbos, I have peas and carrots, I don't want the peas, I don't want the carrots, what do? How do I do it? We just don't know, we're not aware. We know that there's halachas out there, but we haven't bothered to learn them. But if I ask you, you know, who won the championship in the NBA last year? You can tell me not only who won, but every player on the team, and how many points they average, how many rebounds they average, how many minutes per game they average, and how much, you know, all these super statistics, whatever they call it, you know, how much each player contributes to the team on the time that he's on the floor and all these crazy things. Then you can tell me the pure day practice, every detail. It's inconsistent. It's inconsistent. One other example of details, which also the Gemara connects to this, or Zela, is the Gemara says in Brachos, "Kol nena mina oma zebel bracha ma'a, kol nena mina oma zebel bracha kiu gozel l'kadosh baruch hu knesses Yisrael." A person who gets benefit from this world without making brachos, so he's like also a gazlan. Also a gazlan, the Gemara says. A bracha, the bracha this, bracha that. And again, details. There's details of Hilchos brachos. The person sits down, he's ready to eat his cereal. Nobody knows here what the brachos are on cereal. It happens to be together. You're probably good on most brachos that you say. But guy sits down, ah, blah, 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 Mzonos. That's not Mzonos. You know, that's shackle. The guy sits down, he's like, I don't know, eats a cucumber, bring for the eights. Dude, a cucumber's not growing on trees. You know? All sorts of funny, now you're not guilty. All sorts of funny things. This is also a lack of attention to detail, and connected by the Gemara Tikzeva. This question is, what do we do? My Takate, it's not my question. The Gemara asked this question. The Gemara brought this over there. My Takate, what's the remedy? How do we fix this problem? The Gemara says, Yelo Yitzul Chacham. You have to go to a Chacham. Go to a Chacham, the Gemara says. What am I going to do? Go to a Chacham. I did Averis. I'm going to go to the Chacham. For what? Or says, no, go to the Chacham before you do the Averis and learn from him. Go learn. Go learn. That's all you know what to do. So the Mesillas Yesharim in Perek Gimel, so he discusses a little bit what it means to go to a Chacham. And he gives you an Eitzah, the Eitzah of a Chacham, in terms of how to avoid Averis. So the Mesillas Yesharim says, Chazal, compare Olam Hazeh L'Choshech, just by way of introduction, Tashet Choshech Bi Laila, Ze Olam Hazeh Shedom L'Laila. That this world is like night. Mesillas Yesharim is one of my favorite pieces. He points out that there are two mistakes that night plays on the eyes. The person's in the dark, you know, he sees in front of him something, he doesn't know what it is. So sometimes, the Mesillas Yesharim points out, you see a pillar, and you think it's a person. Or you see a person, you think it's a pillar. One type of trick that the nighttime can play on the eyes is that you see one thing and then you think that it's something else. That's one type of trick. But there's another type of trick that sometimes you don't see anything at all and there's actually something right there. You're just walking along your merry way, you bump, you walk right into a pole because you didn't see it was there at all. So the Mesillas Yesharim says that these are two types of mistakes that people make in this world. Sometimes we don't know. We're ignorant. I don't know there's an halacha. I don't know what the right thing to do is. I'm not aware. A lack of awareness. So we have to become aware. And sometimes there's a worse mistake, where a person sees something, and he thinks that it's something good, when really it's something bad. No, I'm going to do a great mitzvah. I'm going somewhere where there's, you know, barely any semblance of Judaism at all, and I will be mekarif them all. I just had a conversation with somebody yesterday. He's going to a place. I'm not talking about college. He's going to a place in the summer. He's going to be, a one-man show. Yeah. One-man show! I'm going to be Makariv! What? It's a very noble intent. Very noble intent. The noblest, as a matter of fact. But it's a mistake. It's a mistake. You're looking there, you think it's a mitzvah, you don't see, it's something else. It's a mistake. You could be lost. You're floating out at sea. You think you're going to lead them all. It's not going to work like that. It's a mistake. So what do we do? Yelechai tzol chacham. The Mesillas Yesharim says, make cheshbon on nefesh. A person has to think. A person has to think, what are the right things? What are the wrong things? Let me identify them. And then run after the good things and stay away from the bad things. And sometimes we don't know what the right things or the wrong things are. Yelechai tzol chacham. He goes to a chacham. Everybody knows the mashal with the garden maze. We're all lost in the maze. We have to go to the chacham. The chacham is the guy who's got to the center already. He has a bird's eye view. He can direct you. He can tell you what's good and what's not good. Yelechet al Chacham, and he'll tell you, go to the Chacham, he'll tell you, give you advice, guide you. Not dictate to you, guide you. That's one. Maybe that's one suggestion as to why we're not mapped on these areas of Gezel. It has to do with the lack of attention to detail, which is a broader issue that affects so many areas of Avodas Hashem. That's one. But there's another problem. Maybe there's another suggestion I could offer that may explain why we don't care about taking somebody else's tissue, we don't care about flicking somebody else's pencil, we don't care about eating yeshiva's food. Why don't I mind? Because I'm me. What do you mean? I'm entitled to that. Do you know how much I pay for tuition here? Do you guys know you charge? I can't even eat a cookie? What do you mean? You know, a guy goes downstairs to the dining room. He wants to make dinner in his room. Today and tomorrow and every night this week for the next 2 weeks. So he's like, no problem. Takes a stack of plates. You know, he piles up some forks, some spoons, some knives. He's going to need it for the room. Stack of cups on top of there. Takes it to the room. No problem. What do you mean? I'm paying a lot of money for tuition here. That's not what you're paying for. It's not yours. But you feel that there's a sense of entitlement. People feel and say, I have it coming to me. Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Vayeschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to Hashem, v'eschanan, a lashon of chanina. Rashi says, ein chinun b'chol makom, a lashon matnas chinam. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he asks Hashem, in this case, to enter Eretz Yisrael, or whatever it is that he happens to be asking for, so he asks for a matnas. Hashem, I'm asking for a gift. A gift. Afal pi sheyesh lehem tzadikim, litvos b'maaseim atovim. Even though a tzaddik could come to Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm devoted to you. I give everything to you. I have all these ma'asim tovim, Torah mitzvahs. Maybe I'm entitled to a little something. Maybe you can help me out over here. Entitled? No. A tzaddik asks for a ma'an miskinu. And the Sifrei says in the Medrash, Zezeh davar kamachomer. Uma'ilu. Talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech. Great people. Sheyecholim litvos b'ma'aseyim atovim. That they could come to Hashem and say, we've done so many amazing things. We're entitled. Give me something because I'm entitled. V'lo bikshu min ha'makom she'yitin lahem elachinam. And they ask Hashem only, no. Hashem, please give me as a gift. I have no sense of entitlement. So mishe'enu echad me'elech alfei alafim. V'ribe revavos mitalmideyem. Somebody who's not even a million billionth of a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech. How much more so should a regular person, people like us, not come to Hashem and say, I'm entitled to something? Should you have an attitude with the world that you live in of I'm entitled to something? It's already like cliche to say iPhone and iPad and all these things. Okay, that's the idea. My Rebbe Yersinai Adler actually told me. So he has a sefer on Chumash called Dvar Sinai. And just Xerox here, he has also a piece on Parshat Eschanan. He quotes Rashi. And he just points out, Kolomar, Mikananu Lomdin, Shal Pidin Lo Magila Adam Sum Dabar Mibor. We're not entitled to anything. Nothing. This is coming from a man who survived the Holocaust, who lost two wives, who has lived a life of suffering, and there's actually, for those of you who saw, I think with my shirt, I think we actually saw this, I think, in Yad Vashem, there's a couple, there's two different places that he's on the screen, one on the very big screen and one on a regular size screen, and in one of the screens, he's smiling when he's giving the interview, and the guy asks him, and Rabbi Teller actually told me afterwards that conversation that I'm about to tell you about was actually not part of the real interview. I mean, they were talking after the interview, and they had left the camera rolling, and this conversation took place, and then, you know, it's a very beautiful conversation, and they left it on. So the guy asks him, you know, how can you smile all the time? I mean, he always smiles. It's unbelievable. He's always smiling. He said, how could you always smile? So he looks at him, he's like, what choice do I have? You know, it's like smiling or crying. But it's more than just smiling or crying. It's more than just that snippet of the conversation. The attitude that he has, is in the sefer over here, I'm not entitled to anything. I have no sense of entitlement. Whatever I have is a gift. And he can talk about what it means to be here living in Eretz Yisrael, and be here, he has children, Baruch Hashem, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Every time I call him, he's telling me there's like another great-grandchild on the way. It's unbelievable. No sense of entitlement. We gave something to God. You got up in the morning, you got in chakras. You know, you're like, God needs that from you? God doesn't need that. You need that. You'll say, maybe the Torah says that I'm entitled. The Torah says I do things. I get schar. So God says I have a sense of no. No, the schar in the Torah is mevusas amidas harachman. Anything Hashem gives us, the schar for mitzvahs, anything we have in Olam Hazeh, it's from Hashem's rachman, from Hashem's chesed. But it's not because of a sense of entitlement. We're now in a Shemitah year. So what happens in Shemitah year? Everything was hefker, we're mafker everything. You have a field that you planted, you know, an orchard, and you worked hard for 6 years, and maybe for the last 50 years. You've been working on this field and cultivating it and growing it, and now you have this beautiful orchard filled with your sweat and blood. And it comes to Shemitah year, and God says, that's not yours anymore. It's hefker. And every guy walking down the street is allowed to come right into your field and pick your oranges and eat your mangoes, and take your stuff, because it's not your stuff. What is that? So the idea is, perhaps, this idea, we have no sense of entitlement. Hashem has to remind us every 7 years that no matter how hard we work, how much we invest, it's not ours in the end of the day. Everything comes from Hashem. Just to end off, I see that I'm basically out of time. What's the remedy? So what's the remedy for the sense of entitlement? How do I... It's natural. We're born that way. We're raised that way. I have rights. Inalienable rights. Rights that are self-evident. You know? So how do we disillusion ourselves from this sense of entitlement? So I think maybe there's two answers here. One is just to be makpid on hakar satov, right? When people do things nice to us, nice things for us, which happens very often, Baruch Hashem. So to recognize that, to appreciate that, to express that appreciation, so then it builds up in ourselves also. This person did something nice for me. I didn't have that coming. I don't deserve that, per se. I'm appreciative. A person who's appreciative doesn't feel like everything's coming to him. That's one. And second of all, just to ezu ashir asameach b'chelko, to appreciate not only what other people do for us, but to appreciate the things that we have in life. And Yitzhak Hashem, you know, to work on these two middos, the sense of entitlement, the attention to detail, and we should be zocha to good things. Yeah.